Welcome to our Holy Week podcast number 3. As we journey through Holy Week, we are using Bishop John Pritchard's book, The Journey, as a guide. He tells the story through the eyes of John, a disciple who is close to Jesus. It's a creative perspective on the events leading to the crucifixion and resurrection. Today you might like to refer to Luke chapter 22, verses 54 to 62. Denial. It was a still velvet night as the ragged group of priests, temple police and religious elders started back down into the Kidron Valley. The sound of them receded into the distance, and suddenly I found I was alone. Where had all my friends gone? I mean, I could see Peter, bless him, following the crowd, unable to leave his best friend. But I was still standing in the garden, stunned. A moment ago, I'd witnessed the arrest of the man in whom I had placed all my hopes for 3 wonderful upside-down years. I'd come to see so many things the other way round: who was rich and who was poor, who was last and who was first, how to love my enemies and make them my friends, how to enjoy God rather than to fear him. My life had been transformed. I didn't know exactly what I'd be doing in 10 years' time, but I had assumed it would be with Jesus. But now, I was alone in a garden with a memory, and the reality that shaped my life had been dragged off to goodness knows what fate. I had to follow. Peter, of course, was already on the way, but I needed to keep separate from him. We had to keep in the background and not get ourselves noticed. I racked my sluggish brain to think where they might take Jesus in the middle of the night. They couldn't take him to the council at this hour. That would have to wait until morning. Perhaps they'd take him to Caiaphas's house. Yes, most likely. They'd keep him there and then bring him to the whole council the next day. I suppose I should admit it now. I did know the high priest slightly. It's a long story, but I knew that that should enable me to get into Caiaphas's courtyard and see for myself what was happening. I set off, taking a different route from the crowd. I didn't want to be suspected of being a follower. Why not? Was I ashamed of him? Scared? Maybe I just couldn't work it all out right now. I arrived at the closed gate of the house quite a while after they must have got there, and found a familiar shape waiting in the shadows. It was Peter. I whispered to him, "I'll get us in, but we mustn't show that we know each other." So that's what we did. Inside, a warm fire was crackling away as servants wound their way through the crowd of priests, scribes, temple police and hangers-on, delivering drinks and small plates of egg, cheese and olives. I stood back, leaning against a wall, slowly eating one of the snacks because I couldn't think what else to do. But Peter, he went and sat right by the fire, where the glow showed up his drawn features. After a while, one of the servant girls looked closely at this morose figure by the fire and said loudly, "You were with that man they've just arrested. You're one of them." Peter looked up angrily. "I've never met him," he snapped. I watched, aghast. Oh. Peter seemed to shrink into himself. But a few minutes later, another person who'd been looking at Peter fixedly declared, "You really are one of them. You must be." Peter looked alarmed. "I told you I'm nothing to do with him," he half shouted, but he sounded too defensive to be telling the truth. Oh, I willed Peter to just back off and move away, but he was stubborn. Oh, I don't know, maybe just exhausted. His loyalty had brought him right into enemy territory. but as the night wore on, shock and tiredness were causing his resolve to wane. It must have been an hour later when yet another person took a long look at Peter and declared, "You were with him. You're a Galilean like him. I'd recognise that accent anywhere." Peter stood up, knocking his stool over, and shouted furiously at the man, "I don't know what you're talking about." And a cock crowed. Oh, in my memory, everything froze for a few seconds. My brain refused to work. But at that moment, I can hardly bear to think about it. They brought Jesus through the courtyard, presumably from an interrogation room to an overnight cell, and Jesus heard Peter's desperate denial. He must have heard it. And he turned and looked at Peter. But he looked with sorrow, not with blame. He knew what Peter was made of. Peter the rock. But rock can shatter too. Peter pushed his way out of the courtyard. He came to where I was standing. I could see the tears pouring down his face. Oh, it was tragic. Peter, our rock man, reduced to a pile of rubble. I didn't follow. Self-protection, I guess. But I wanted to stay close to Jesus, even if I too had slunk into the shadows. And I felt so terrible. He'd been betrayed by a close friend, denied by his most loyal follower, abandoned by his whole team of disciples, and now he was facing the full might of the religious authorities, and probably the political authorities too. Tomorrow was a day full of threat. The possibilities were too dreadful to contemplate. And he was alone. Absolutely alone. And now for some wondering questions. I wonder where the other disciples went and what they thought they should do next. I wonder if there might have been any danger that Peter would do what Judas did and kill himself after denying Jesus. I wonder where in Jerusalem you would be at this point in the story if you were one of the disciples. I wonder if you've had experience of being disowned or maybe disowning somebody else. We're going to close with a short prayer. Lord God, for those who are devastated by their own actions, for those who don't know what to do next, and for those who feel disowned, send your Holy Spirit into their lives that they might know your guiding, your peace, and your protection. Amen.